Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's December the 15th, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, negotiators in Hong Kong are meeting in closed session today. It looks like cotton is first on the firing line at the WTO meeting. The European Union is arguing the U.S. should give cash instead of food when offering global aid. And in Washington, members of the House have taken up the posted county price. We'll have details of these and many other stories shortly. Hey, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens in this edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The March wheat at 318 and three quarters, down a nickel. The May futures off 4 3/4 today at 328 and a half. The rest of the grains and oil seeds at the Chicago Board of Trade were lower as well. From Kansas City, there was a gainer at 366 and a half in the wheat pit for the March contract there, up a half cent. Corn futures at the Board of Trade, 204 and three quarters, down 2 1/2 today. May futures, 214, a settlement price 2 1/4 lower, and July contract, 222 1/2, down 2 1/4. December futures down a penny and a half at 242 3/4. Soy complex now, January beans 587 1/4, down 5 1/4. The March futures 598, down 5 1/2 cents. And the May contract at 606 1/4, down a nickel. November futures 620 3/4. They were off 2 3/4. January bean meal down 360 today at 187.40. January bean oil managed to gain 10 cents at 21.40. Feeder cattle mercantile exchange 113.82 1/2 for the Jans. They were off a dollar. December live cattle 27 1/2 cents lower at 94.32 1/2. And the February lean hogs $64.37 1/2. They were down $1.80 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened to the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace and the trade for the day.
Well, after a couple days of up, a lot of short covering activity on Monday and then some follow-through there on Tuesday, we kind of began to take a breather here the past couple days, and that breather got a little more downward momentum here. If you can't go higher based upon some pretty good chart action early in the week, a lot of traders have really begun to kind of exit some of their longs and maybe went long here, thinking that we would see a couple waves of fund buying or big aggressive fund buying, and that really hasn't materialized.
And you're talking primarily about the soy complex at this point.
Well, and corn too. Corn had a pretty good up on Monday. Basically, I think while we did have a big short covering rally and it did dress up the underlying chart picture, there's one thing of making out a bottom, and it's another thing of trying to get something going on the upside. And I think that's kind of what we've done here, is that the price action over the past, week and a half, or actually first couple weeks here of December, does indicate that maybe the futures market did go ahead and find their fall bottom or early winter low, depending upon how you want to view December here. And now we, I think, has rallied up to a point where beans are kind of at the top end of a trading range that they've kind of been in over the past 3 months. We've kind of had a top in October right around the $6 area. We had another top around in November around the $6 area. So now we've got another December top here at $6. So you kind of got a top end of a $6 trading range here was kind of stopped the bean market, at least for the time being. The 550 area kind of looks like that's kind of the bottom end of a 50 cent trading range. I think, technically, triple tops a lot of times, and this is what one may want to call it, a triple top, or you might just want to call it a broadband sideways market. If beans would ever start, I think, penetrating this 604, 605, 606 area, I think you would begin to find a lot of technical buying. But until you kind of go up through those tops, the technicians are probably going to be a little hesitant to go on the long side.
And if you take a look at the weekly charts on the beans, what do you see there?
Well, pretty much the same thing. I mean, it's a sideways type market. I think, and that goes along with the fundamentals, at least at the moment. We've got a lot of inventory out there. There's a group in the trade that kind of feels that USJ is going to bump up the production number again in the January final report. Things in South America have come along fairly well. We've heard an awful lot of talk about acreage cutback, and economic conditions may cut back on rust control and chemical control and all that down in Brazil. But it does look like finally they did get some additional monies, the producers down in that area. So things may not be quite as bad as what the market was trying to work earlier in the year. Weather conditions are generally favorable, but the Argentina still kind of falls back into the default mode once in a while, which is to be dominantly dry. But until supplies are threatened, it'll be pretty hard, I think, for beans to make much headway above the $6 area.
If you had to pick a trough that they might trade in for the year, are you thinking $6, or for the winter months, are you thinking $6 to $5.50, or is it?
Well, that's what it looks like for now. That seems to be a fairly tight trading range for soybeans, but that's what it looks like for now. But I wouldn't necessarily, even though we've backed off a little bit here from the $6 area, I'm not necessarily sure the beans are done trying to go on up in here before the end of the year. The market is awful short. There's not a lot of bearish news around to make the thing go lower. So what you're seeing here is the shorts are kind of wanting to exit their positions before the end of the year, and that's providing some underlying strength.
We heard quite a bit last week about January the 12th. I think that's when the next crop production and the quarterly grain stocks reports are due out. And the idea that that might be a stepping off point to move the futures market potentially higher, would you put any credence in that?
Well, the only thing that I know is usually the final crop report puts the rest of the previous year's crop, and the market then begins to look forward to the new crop. So that seems to be more of a pivot point, or shortly after that, unless the crop report is a real surprise one way or the other. It's kind of the final nail in the coffin of the crop estimates of the previous year's crop, and then we begin to kind of look ahead. So in that sense, unless there's a shocker in it, basically the report will be viewed as basically old news, and then the market will want to try to look ahead to see what kind of mixing up things can do as we go on into the 06 growing season. Unfortunately, though, I think the crop report is going to map out some pretty big ending stock projections. Unless demand begins to pick up pretty soon, we're going to see additional upward adjustments in ending stocks for corn, and I think you're going to see another round of that in soybeans. But that's for another time. But with those big, large carryouts, it may be tough to excite the market about the 2006 crop until you get right into the growing season and see what April weather is.
Do you have orders in above the market for cash sales on beans?
Well, I think producers probably, depending upon where they're at on their sales, the top end of this trading range is a place to make some sales. If they want to kind of keep their fingers crossed for higher prices, then you probably have to run a risk of a close down below 550. You're going to have to play that trading range. If you go down below 550, that would probably pretty well open up the gates to move on down to the $5 area, which it would kind of suggest that things in South America is going quite well. But I think for the time being here, the midpoint of the range, you need to kind of make sure this market kind of holds this 575 area. That was the high here a week ago when we popped out on a Monday, and then we fell back. So probably farmers need, if you need to make some sales, you need to kind of make sales up here in the upper 590s to around the $6 area.
On the corn side of this ledger, we've made note over the past, I think, three expirations, and December expired yesterday in the corn pit, that they were about 12 cents above the following month. That would be the March this time around. That was the case yesterday, and she started down trading to narrow that up by 2 cents again today.
Well, I think the corn chart picture is similar to beans, but it's got a little wider type trading range in it, per se, as far as corn goes. I think you look at a lead futures chart, you can see that back here in September and early October, thereabouts, we kind of had a little double top formation develop around the 210 area. Now here over the past couple of weeks, we kind of saw a little double bottom type formation be traced out here at the $1.85 area. So I think you're kind of in a lead futures trend trade here, probably between 285 on the downside and 210 on the upside. And the midpoint of that range is right at $2. So that's probably where corn's headed. We're going to slide down into the $2 midpoint area and see whether or not we'll keep this gap open. December futures on the high, before it expired yesterday, had a high like $1.97.5. So a lot of times technical traders will see if the new lead futures will come down and fill that what we call as a lead futures chart gap before they would start probing the long side.
And your feeling about the marketplace, if you wanted to put a channel in over the wintertime, what would it be?
Well, pretty much what I defined.
Just 180 to 210?
Yeah, that's the wide part. You can maybe even go to 215. Probably most of the time we're going to want to trade between 205 and $1.95.
And so you don't sound very excited about the corn market.
Not right now. I mean, this is mid-December. It's that time of year. I think you have to get past the January crop report. I just think until we get past that, traders are going to worry about big crop production numbers, are going to be reminded of how big a crop that we've raised. But like I said, once we get past that, then we begin to, start looking towards spring. The days start getting longer and everybody's attitude changes. But I think between now and the January crop report, it may be a little difficult to get anything exciting going on the upside, at least, but you never know.
There will be those that need to make sales before the end of the year yet because they've waited it out, and they have to do that for tax purposes or to have cash flow for Christmas, one of the two. And there will be some that need to move things prior to the time that they get to the next crop production report. Should they move corn or soybeans?
I think a combination of both. Beans probably have more volatility to them over the next 2 to 3 months if something would happen in South America. But if we're going to have larger acres come at us next spring, then the beans turn bearish. Probably in the short run, corn's probably going to be harder to get going on the upside because of the supplies. But longer term, the corn market might be able to come to life sometime this spring, if depending upon what kind of spring weather pattern we have.
We appreciate you being with us today, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwickers with AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons. He does the same on the Opening Market Reports on Thursday mornings.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri-Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
At the bottom of the hour, agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's Ed Kieser says for tonight it'll be mostly cloudy with a few scattered flurries across the two-state region. Lows ranging from 19 in northwestern Illinois to 29 in the far south. Tomorrow, he says, cloudy, some areas of light snow, a few flurries, especially in the north and the east. Highs will range tomorrow, says Ed, from 23 in northwestern Illinois to 43 in the far south. By the way, a heavy snow warning is in effect for portions of east central Indiana through early this evening, including Richmond. And winter weather advisory is in effect for snow for most of the rest of the eastern half of Indiana, that through early this evening as well. Dave Dickey will be here in just a moment to take a look at the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, negotiators at the Doha Round of World Trade Talks in Hong Kong are meeting today in closed sessions on non-agricultural market access and development issues. Trade ministers spent Wednesday evening discussing cotton and banana issues. While there were no breakthroughs in the negotiations overnight, this morning, U.S. Chief Trade Negotiator Rob Portman said the U.S. is preparing to offer a duty-free import deal to cotton-producing African nations if the Doha Round produces a World Ag Deal. The U.S. National Cotton Council welcomed efforts to expand market access, but also expressed concern that some aspects of the deal will be too painful for U.S. farmers. And the European Union is blasting the U.S. for tying cotton to the overall agricultural negotiations. A U.S. trade official says agricultural market access negotiations in Hong Kong with the EU have not been fruitful. The lack of progress on market access, especially with developing countries, could have major implications for U.S. farmers' attitudes about cutting subsidies in the 2007 Farm Bill. EU Trade Commissioner Peter Mandelson is trying to keep the focus on cotton and food aid. Mandelson says the EU will eliminate its export subsidies if the U.S. makes changes in its food aid program, demanding the U.S. switch from commodity donations to 100% cash donations so non-governmental U.S. groups and foreign governments can buy food anywhere. Mandelson says the U.S. distorts world prices by giving commodities for food aid instead of cash. U.S. Ag Secretary Mike Johanns says that argument just doesn't make sense.
The United States provides approximately 57% of all global food aid and nearly half of all emergency food aid. 58% of the food aid we provide goes to emergency situations, even though the EU argues that should be cash. I think every other country in the world says these emergency situations are desperate, and they are desperate. These are the pictures on TV of children dying.
Meanwhile, speaking to World Trade Organization ministers in Hong Kong, U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman announced plans to more than double contributions to global aid for trade. According to Portman, the U.S. plans to make $2.7 billion in grants available annually by 2010. That's an increase from $1.3 billion this year. A House Ag subcommittee heard testimony Wednesday on how USDA figures posted county prices. The hearing was prompted by discrepancies in PCPs in side-by-side counties on opposite sides of state lines. It's a bottom-line issue for ag producers because PCPs are used to determine county-level loan rates and marketing assistant loan program benefits for commodities. National Farmers Union member Mike O'Connor testified that the system is inconsistent and unreliable.
If there's one thing independent-minded farmers can agree upon, it's the confusion and complexity of posted county price setting. The process is something very few can clearly explain or comprehend.
According to Committee Chairman Jerry Morin of Kansas, the hearing was not to establish whether PCPs should be lower or higher, but whether or not PCPs accurately reflect the local market. Iowa State University says the average price of Iowa farmland reached a record high for the third consecutive year, jumping on average almost 11% to $2,914 per acre. The study was based on reports by licensed real estate brokers. High-grade farmland averaged $3,511 per acre, an increase of 10% over 2004. A South Korea government and private sector advisory committee says beef trade with the U.S. could resume if there were stronger inspection and quarantine measures established to ensure safety from mad cow disease. The Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries will take the committee's findings into account in deciding whether to restart talks with the U.S. over resuming beef imports. A decision could come as early as next week. But National Cattlemen's Beef Association Vice President for Public Policy Jay Truitt says that timeline may be optimistic.
There's a time period they could make the determination. It's important for everybody, again, just to kind of keep in mind that it's our understanding that there are several weeks of a process still to go through in South Korea, so we shouldn't expect anything immediate. They haven't begun it, and they've initiated the activity that they needed to do and that they were committed to do, but there are a number of steps in their process, and they seem to be completing them pretty much as expected, but we shouldn't look for Korea to be open, you know, imminently. It's not an immediate activity.
South Korea banned the import of U.S. beef in December of 2003. Today, USDA Secretary Mike Johanns called all Asian markets that still ban U.S. beef to follow Japan's lead and reopen their borders to U.S. cattle trade. Johanns has been meeting privately at the Doha Round in Hong Kong with ag ministers to press them to reopen their markets to U.S. beef. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, and at the cash grain market is Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Hi, Todd. How are you this afternoon?
Well, I'm very well. Quiet day, it seems, although it was a bit down day at the Board of Trade for both the corn and the soybeans. How's the cash market faring?
Pretty quiet in the cash market, too. After the last few days, there was quite a bit of cash movement, and it really quieted down the day, not much going on.
Got your finger on the pulse of what's been happening over at the Illinois River? Is it frozen up and things?
Yeah, I mean, the weather, of course, has been causing the freight to go up. It's up about 120% from last week, so pretty significant, not nearly as high as what we had during Katrina. But the Gulf Basin has really improved, and, you know, trying to get corn down there. So what you've seen is some of the rail that goes to the Gulf is better this week. Some of the processors are better on the corn, I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And the river, of course, is weaker. So you're seeing that separation take place, it seems like.
And then for the beans, did the basis stay pretty strong as she made the move higher, or did it widen out?
Pretty strong. A little bit of weakness along the river, again, mainly because of the freight. But really, processor bid stayed pretty strong on the soybeans. So I guess other than that, not a whole lot going on. The LDP, of course, has dropped down below 20. And if you take the LDP plus the cash prices, we're down to about as low a level as we've been since the 1st of October now. So,
and as farmers are calling you, are they suggesting that they're ready to move any grain? Yeah.
Well, I think there's grain that needs to move on for January cash flow purposes. You still have quite a bit of money to be made there in the deferred, you know, months by using the futures. But we've been encouraging sales earlier in the week on cash flow needs.
And what are the bids there in Lexington?
We got 185 on the corn and 568 on the soybeans.
Bill, we appreciate you joining us on
Thank
this
you.
Thursday. Bill Mayer is with Roach Ag Marketing. He's out of Lexington, Illinois, based in the elevator there. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt about the weather. Your local newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Federal prosecutors have indicted newspaper mogul Conrad Black on additional charges, including racketeering and obstruction of justice. The new charges come 2 weeks after Black pleaded innocent to fraud charges in connection with the alleged looting of more than $80 million from Hollinger International, The newspaper empire he once controlled, Hollinger publishes the Chicago Sun-Times. A divided Illinois Supreme Court says tobacco giant Philip Morris USA did not defraud Illinois cigarette customers in marketing its light and low-tar cigarettes. The court decided 4-2 today to throw out a $10 billion class action lawsuit against Philip Morris and its parent Altria Group. A spokeswoman says Philip Morris USA is gratified with the court's decision. An attorney for the plaintiff says they'll pursue appeal options, including the U.S. Supreme Court. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan's racketeering and fraud trial continues today with the testimony of high-powered Chicago lobbyist Roger Kiley. The former judge says Ryan's longtime pal, former state senator Ron Swanson, got $60,000 a year as a lobbyist for the Metropolitan Pier and Exposition Authority while doing only a small amount of work. An Iroquois County teen is dead following a two-vehicle crash near his home this morning. State police say an eastbound car driven by 16-year-old Andrew Cabe of Cisna Park skidded through a slick intersection just before 8 this morning and was hit by a southbound pickup truck. Cabe was pronounced dead at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana a little over an hour later. Two others involved in the crash were treated and released. Illinois' unemployment rate has dropped to 5.3%. November's rate was down from October's rate of 5.5%. The Illinois Department of Employment Security says it's the 10th consecutive month that the state has seen job growth. Employment Security Director Brenda Russell says unemployment in Illinois is at its lowest level since June of 2001. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Thursday afternoon. We're joined to take a look at the agricultural weather by meteorologist Peter Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about South America, how the crop is faring for both the corn and the soybeans.
Well, things have improved a little bit in Brazil. They had some more rain down in southern Brazil. That's an area that had been on the dry side. So with the precipitation that's come in the past week or so down there, that's going to improve moisture generally for the emerging soybeans and the corn crops down there, and especially in those previously dry regions in the south. So things look good down there in Brazil. As far as the Argentine is concerned, they did get some showers last week, that's helped the summer grain outlooks. That's the soybeans and the corn. It slowed down the wheat harvest a little bit. But they'll accept that. They need the rain for the new crop, and the clearing weather coming in there now will allow them to take care of that crop, the wheat crop as well, this coming week. So on the whole, things look pretty good down there.
Can you tell me how it is that the data that's coming out of Brazil and Argentina has changed over the years? In the last 5 years, there have been complaints that it's not been particularly good on the meteorological side. Has it gotten better?
Oh, I think it's gotten quite a bit better in the past, I'd say past year and a half. We're getting much better data switched into the international communication services, and it's much more detailed data, and they've combined it with computer data. A lot of it's done up here, actually, in the U.S. Some of their models are run up here. But all in all, I would say their data is improved markedly. Probably give it a year and 6 months. But you're absolutely right. Prior to that, it was really very scanty and very erratic.
It seemed to me that most of the meteorologists we had talked to had gotten more confident with what they were talking about they looked to South America and that ever-important bean crop and the corn crop in Argentina, for that matter, as we discussed it on this program. Tell me about the hard red winter wheat growing areas of the United States.
Well, there the problem was poor early emergence on the crop. It was late planted because of dryness. Then it's had some cold weather. The cold weather came early to the hard winter wheat belt, which meant that it didn't get a chance to get much pre-winter growth in. And we see a broad portion of that area, especially the western and southwestern portions, in trouble if this winter turns in to have any severity at all, because it has very poor root structure. Only three leaves emerged before the winter dormancy set in. So it's vulnerable to winter kill this year, and it's going to have a struggle come spring. It's going to need moisture, and the outlook, by the way, is for dry weather. and cold temperatures. So I think we're seeing a crop there that needs attention. We can't ignore the hard winter wheat belt.
We'll try to keep a close eye on it, and we'll be calling you to make sure that that happens. Thanks.
Very good.
All right. We appreciate Pete Levitt on Thursday afternoons joining us to take a look at the growing areas around the globe. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening commodity market report with your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the radio stations, Dave Dickey. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.